Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Open Air Project. I'm Cody Solt. I'm here again with Steve Sunderland.
Cody.
And today we have Tom Billett.
Cody.
And Andy Squires.
Woo-hoo!
Here in the studio.
Hello.
Tom and Andy are both excellent, excellent turkey hunters. Tom is also my uncle, and he's the guy that got me into hunting. Without him, I might have found hunting eventually, but it would have taken a lot longer. I was a city kid, so coming into here and end up hunting just wasn't on the radar. So Tom also, as well as being a good turkey hunter, he was an elk guide for a while here in Pennsylvania for the elk draw, which is pretty close to us. There are elk right around Clearfield. I can go 5 miles down the road and I've seen elk.
But they're spreading out.
Yeah.
We never used to see them around here. Now that's pretty common.
Yeah.
So, Tom did some guiding then. Tom, what was the success rate on that?
At that time, it had to have been in the 90%, I would say. Somewhere closer to 95, probably.
Right, because when they give you a tag, you're pretty much, there's elk.
Yeah, you're not guaranteed, but there's a lot of areas that there's a high number of elk.
Right, and you said now you have to hire a guide to do that.
That's what Andy has
Not positive, but I think we'll have to do some research on that. Don't hold me to that.
That's way harder to draw that tag than it is to kill the animal.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
So Andy and I have been friends since just out of high school. He's been around, and we've hunted together quite a bit. Andy's a killer, straight killer.
Straight up killer.
Yeah. Andy kills a bird every year, don't you?
Yep.
Yep. Tom, you kill a bird every year. At least one. You guys at least kill one bird a year.
Yep. Keep going out every day. Try to get out every day. Do something every day.
Yeah.
You guys normally get that extra turkey tag?
Yep, with the second tag.
Yeah.
He does.
You don't?
No, I don't give him that much.
I don't either. I haven't.
I usually have enough people to tag along.
Not to say that I won't, but I haven't yet bought an extra.
My problem is that during the spring,
time's limited.
It's, yeah. Oh, spring is so tough for me because I got my work gets busy in the spring. Yard work.
Yep.
Got to keep the wife happy so that way I can.
Oh yeah.
Do the other things. And then fly fishing's coming in. Like, everything's really happening right now, so it's tough. Although I was out Saturday for the first time, and I missed a turkey. So we won't talk too much about that.
I will bring it up again, at least yeah. One more time.
It happens, man.
So, Andy, how's your season been going?
Good. I shot a bird the first Saturday.
Oh, yeah?
Yep, first Saturday of the Pennsylvania turkey season. Hunted public land in Clearfield County and took a recommendation from Tom and he put me right in the right spot. And
yeah.
Kaboom.
Got the deed done.
And that was a good bird too, right?
It was a good bird, yep. Tom and I hunted a bird up there last year, basically the entire last week. And we were close to him a couple times hunting on public ground, and we actually got the bird spooked in front of us once. So we knew that they were in there.
Yeah.
So I really didn't do much scouting, but basically just tried to get right in the middle of them on the first day, and it worked out.
Yeah, because those birds, correct me if I'm wrong. You guys are the experts, but they typically go to the same places every year. They hang out in the same spots. They strut pretty much in the same spots, stuff like that. How big was that? How big was the beard on it?
9.5-inch beard, inch spurs.
Nice. Yep. Yeah, can't beat that.
No, it was a good opening morning. Heard lots and lots of gobbling that day. Lots of turkeys.
Yeah. I haven't had any.
Sorry.
But that's okay.
I just wondered if Tom had any more recommendations. Question two. Well, yeah, Cody's pointing at himself because he's not very patient. He is probably one. Well, I'll ask the question, how long?
Oh.
If you get a good gobble, on the roost and then maybe right after daylight off the roost and then he shuts up, which is pretty typical. How long will you sit that guy out?
I've got a little story for you I wasn't going to reveal, but I'll reveal anyway.
Okay.
Well, let's hear it.
I missed one on Wednesday morning. me and Andy were hunting a couple days, and he's just in a corner it's hard to get to. So when the last day Andy had to go back to work, he told me I should come in from the backside. So I did. And I got in there, and he never gobbled till about 7:30. By the time he gobbled at 7:30, I'd already got snuck in close enough where if he was down where he had been, I would be able to see him, and he was right there. So I laid in the grass and looked down off the gas well and watched him. Watched him, and he did the same thing he did. And whenever he started gobbling and going away, I crawled down in and sat down right where he was. 3 hours and 45 minutes later, I missed him at about 33, 35 yards.
No kidding.
That long.
Yeah, butt was as sore as the top of that bar top.
Because you knew he was coming back?
Oh, yeah, he'd been doing it for a week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's a long sit, especially to stay still. Stuff starts cramping up on you.
Yeah. I mean, I was scanning the area every time I wanted to move. If I had to move, I took a real good look. And I never called. I may have called two times in that whole 3 hours.
Just to let him know you were still there?
Just to find out where he was at. I'd get him to gobble, and he was quite a ways away. And there was a few jakes in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew they wouldn't come up into that zone.
Because it was his zone.
It's his zone. Right. He got in there tight, and I panicked because he was awful fidgety. There's a road, and there's people on that road driving in and out periodically. He got in close enough to me, and I convinced myself he was going to bolt.
Yeah.
Where if I would have waited another 10 minutes, I probably could have watched the show and just picked my shot at 20 yards. But I...
Is that pretty typical that they'll turn back within the morning hunting hours, like say before noon?
A lot of times, let's say you're hunting on a ridge like yesterday, and we could hear the birds gobbling at one point, and then they flew down and they kind of went out the ridge. We tried to get in behind them, knowing eventually that they're going to turn around, whether they pick up hens or lose hens or whatever happens with the hens, they end up back to that same spot.
Yeah.
And so you just stay put, pretty much.
A lot of times, you're just trying to close the gap a little bit. Maybe you knew where they were, and now they're going away. Get back into that spot where they were just at, and just hold tight in there, and just wait for them to come back.
See, that's something I've never done. I just don't know enough about turkey hunting. I go out and maybe, you know, I'll hear a gobble, and then I might wait a little bit and call, and I know that I, in the past, I've called too much. I've learned that lesson. But I would have never known that they come back that quickly.
Well, and it's hard to sit there. Like Tom said, it's hard to sit there for that long. I typically probably, after about an hour not hearing anything anymore, I'm going to get up and leave. Where I know sometimes that's not the right thing to do, but I'm like, you know, I'm going to go somewhere else and try.
Mm-hmm. I did that. Yeah, Saturday morning.
There's no correct way of doing it. It's just however if you feel like doing it, then that's what you do.
Right, but you
enjoy it.
But that's a tactic that you guys use that works, right? Yeah. With them coming back, that's
the ideal to that is like we put ourselves in the best position that we can hear a vast amount of ground. And most of it, we can look right at it.
Yeah, so you'll get up on a ridge somewhere.
Yeah, so somewhere where we can look out. And like that Saturday, we heard them. And you could visualize what they're doing. You know, they're going right to left.
Yep.
Right to left. And then pretty soon, it's like, well, they're going to do that all morning eventually. Eventually, they're going to come back where they started because they're always going to think that somebody came in behind them. The girls aren't going to come running to them right off the bat.
Even if they travel, say, out of a hardwood setting, maybe to a cornfield or any field for that matter. Excuse me. If they travel to that field from their roosting area, say, 75, 100 yards, now, do you stay in that roost spot that's 100 yards away from that field edge, or will you try to work that field edge more, get closer to it?
Depends on how he's acting. If he's gobbling good and receptive, then I'll close the gap and try to shoot him as quick as I can before he attracts 14 other guys. Come in there.
That
happens a lot.
Now, do you guys typically hunt field edges, or do you like to get them in the timber?
I like hunting the woods.
Do you?
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Gas wells are fun.
Yeah.
As opposed to, I mean...
Because it's like a strip.
Fields are difficult. Yeah. Fields are
because they get too far out, and that's what I ran into.
It's a comfort zone. They get out there, nothing can sneak up on them.
That's right, and then you can't. You're not going to call them back to the edge of the field. That's what I ran into. That's how I missed that bird.
Because I had one come out from a bunch of hens late morning. That was one of the few times that I probably did sit for about 3 hours, but watched them in the field for about that long. That gobbler did come out of there eventually, and I was sitting on like an old tram road entrance, mm-hmm. just off of it. When he leaves the field, of course, I can see him, but that's right where he came. Because mm-hmm. I think, and like Tom, just a couple times did I call. No, I didn't sit there and hammer it out. Basically just sat there and watched them do their thing.
Yeah.
But when he left the field, the hens went one way. He came out our side, and it worked out.
If you are going to sit that long, though, one of the things you want to make sure you try to do is as soon as you sit down, make sure it's someplace it's comfortable.
Yeah.
Knowing that you might be there for a long time.
Yeah.
Like,
to where you're not going to, like, your leg's not going to fall asleep. Or
Having a good vest with a good cushion underneath it and taking the time to scrape all the crap away from the bottom of the tree, and you can stretch your legs out without kicking sticks and stuff, that you can settle in there for a long time if you
have
to.
That's tough, too, because you think sometimes you're comfortable, and then a half hour later, oh, yeah. you're like, oh, man, this isn't working at all.
Yeah,
my butt
that changes when you get older, too.
I'm sure.
Start to stiffen up.
So other than that, Tom, how's your season been? You mean, I know you've been hunting quite a bit.
I had to I had the whole first week off.
Yeah.
We heard birds every day.
Yep.
Just a lot of people, a lot of hens. Every day was talking to 3 or 4 different hens every time.
Mm-hmm.
Some birds just won't budge whenever they have company like that. They just, and if you want to push it, you can push it, but chances are you're going to get busted trying to push it.
Right.
You know.
How often do you call hens in?
Oh, I called every hen I hear.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
And they come to you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Chances are they're going to bring him with them, so I'll call every one of them up to me. Because they, believe it or not, they really don't bust you.
Yeah.
Once they get within 10 yards, 20 yards of you, just don't call till they're not looking at you.
Steve and I messed with a bird last year.
That's fun.
Yeah. That's fun.
We had it. I mean, it was 2 or 3 hens. I don't remember how many. But every time we were just messing with it because it
we
was like there was nothing else going. Yeah.
Well, it's a good teacher.
Yeah. And so every time it'd start walking away, like, because it couldn't find us.
Yep.
Right. And every time it'd walk away, I'd call back to it and it'd turn back around and start looking for us again. Yeah. That was fun. Steve, how was your Saturday? That was your first day out, right?
Oh, yeah. I finally got out Saturday. I missed the opening day. And Monday, we were away on a quick trip, but I just behind my house Friday evening, I had plans to hunt a farm that I have permission to hunt on, and always good turkey around there. But Friday evening, doing a few things around the house, and happened to hear a bird go into roost just behind my house, which he had been doing, but I hadn't heard him for like 3 weeks. So I thought maybe the youth hunt, somebody got in there and messed him around, but had no plans at all, and decided to change my plans up and go back behind the house and go after that one. So I get up early, I go in there. Well, one thing too is to get where I needed to go on that bird, I'm within the safety zone regulations, right? So I can't get to this guy and stay 150 yards away from the neighbor's houses. So I call my cousin. I said, "Where's CJ's crossbow?" I said, "I got a bird in the roost, and I don't want to, you know, be firing a cannon off." So I get the crossbow. I sneak in there first thing in the morning. Set one lone hen decoy. He gobbles on the roost quite a bit before he flies down. Flies down, he gives me like 1 or 2 good gobbles that he's heading my way. I didn't know it, but I'm sitting right under a few hen in the trees, which what I was worried about, because I wasn't real sure where they were, and I didn't want to bump them out of the roost. Luckily, they stayed put. They fly down, and one flies down behind me and starts calling. So I'm golden, right? I'm thinking, man, I couldn't ask for a better setup.
Yeah.
So the gobbler did go quiet on me for a while, but he hit me one more time about a half hour later, and he was moving my way, but real slow.
Baby, yeah. Hey, one more time.
So that bird starts calling. Long story short, I start hearing this other noise and another hen call. And right away, I'm like, that sounds like another guy, right? This doesn't sound like that bird or birds that flew down there. So I turn around over my shoulder, and I'm looking, trying to figure out where that either guy or bird is. Sure enough, two guys come off the bank, walk right in behind me. That hen, they had to have bumped it out of there. Now they're doing this, they're calling, walking down the tram road.
Now, before you go further, is it legal to do that? Because I got into a discussion with somebody last night about that. I don't know. Somebody told me it was not legal to call and walk at the same time.
Is it legal or stupid? Is that the question?
Yeah, I know.
Well, legal is the question. Stupid it is for sure. Right.
I think the rule states you are not allowed to stalk.
Yeah, you're not allowed to stalk a bird.
What does that even mean?
Scenario, you see one in the field.
Yeah.
And you don't plan on calling them. You plan on crawling as close as you can to them and whacking them. Which a lot of guys have success doing that.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, but that legally, you could, if there's someone working that bird and you don't expose the fact that you're hunting that bird, bad things could
happen.
By
calling.
Right.
Yeah.
Bad things could happen that way.
I'm sorry. So go ahead, Steve.
These guys are doing this anyway with, unless they're, you know, they've got their headphones in and they're listening to AC/DC or they're completely... They have to hear this gobbler. They have to. Even if they're walking, the thing just went off right before I see him. Right? He gives me a good gobble, and I'm going to guess maybe 50 yards out. I'm hunting in the timber with it, you know, it's starting to green up. So I left myself a window out in front of me where I can see a good, like, 30 yards probably.
Yeah, you're preparing to knuckle down on him.
Yeah, because I've got a crossbow in my hand too now. Right. They walk down, and... Now, I've got a decoy sitting there, which they take a couple more steps, they're probably going to see it. That worries me a little bit.
Sure.
So I stand up right away and turn around and I said, hey, you know, yelled. The first guy almost jumps out of his skin, but he can't find me. He can't see where I'm at. So I take the crossbow and I'm waving it back and forth. He sees me. They turn around, go back up over the hill. And I'm like, well, this just complete. I don't know where they're going. And of course, I was upset, but I knew that the chance of somebody else being in there was probably pretty good. That's why I normally don't hunt in there to begin with. That turkey never gobbles again. A couple hens come through that I see, and I know they're heading for a old cornfield behind me, probably about 50 yards behind me. It's a big cornfield, and they're in there every morning. But problem is they're right along the road, so everybody in town knows they're there.
Mm-hmm.
I know which ones you're talking about.
Yeah. So,
And the two guys that snuck in and spooked them.
Oh, you do?
I have a pretty good idea.
So, yeah, so...
I think I've ran into them before, hunting the same turkey.
Yeah, you used to hunt
back
there.
I know where you mean, yeah.
Were you up there?
No, I don't hunt there anymore.
All right, so it wasn't you anyway.
No.
But, you know, like I said, no big deal, because I figure that's pretty heavily hunted. Those turkey are, you know, they might as well be on display down at, you know, the window downtown in
Bob's or Grace's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I did sit there for about another hour and a half thinking just maybe, you know, nothing ever came of it. So I got up and left, but that was my story. I had a good chance, I think, till those guys kind of did it in for me. Now, whether they were, we're talking about probably an hour after daylight, probably 40 minutes after fly down.
Yeah.
Why they're moving around that early, I don't know. Maybe they're late getting in there. Maybe they heard that gobbler and figured it was coming down through, and maybe they were trying to get a better...
Was it raining here in town? Because it was raining where I was at.
You texted me, said it was pouring.
It was pouring.
It was just sprinkling here. Not enough to even make the ground wet, I don't think.
I got soaked. Yeah, so I had a good, fun Saturday. I missed a bird, probably a further shot than I should have taken. And I won't go into the story, but it was fun. I had fun. So what we do want to get into, though, is like some tactics on how you guys do like preseason scouting. So either one of you, I mean,
I can tell my story real quick from the first day, and that'll, okay. That'll be my preseason scouting.
Okay.
No, I don't really put too much time into preseason scouting. As far as going into the woods,
right?
Like I'll go somewhere and park mm-hmm. and just listen,
yeah,
and basically have a pretty good idea of where they are. And I try to hunt places that I'm familiar with, especially like the lay of the land and
yep.
what the birds generally do
right.
on a consistent basis. So like the first day I walked out this big point onto this gas well and just stood there and listened. And one gobbled down over the hill and one gobbled out a little farther in front of that one. So I just
picked one,
beat feet down over the hill and sat right in the middle of them. Without getting too close to them, and ended up I had two to my right and about five to my left, all gobbling at the same time.
No
Holy
kidding.
Cow.
So and
we don't need to preseason scout a honey hole like that.
No, it's public it's land.
Tom's honey hole.
But he hasn't hunted it again yet, so.
He's waiting. He's letting him cool down.
Might not even hunt in there tomorrow.
Might not. But anywho. Same thing though with the hens. I really hardly did any calling mm-hmm. in the morning. Just some tree yelps, and they were gobbling, and they knew everything was there. And ended up having a couple hens start calling behind me, and I actually did a fly down with my wing mm-hmm. and did a little rake, and then the hens flew down right behind me, and they hit the ground no more than 25, 30 yards, they came in right behind me. And the gobbler that must have had those hens, he gobbled and gobbled. And I could see him a few times down into the woods, but the hens never came to him. So he actually continued on the way that he was going. The birds to my left, who were also close to me, I heard hens fly down with them, and they moved off with him. And the one that I was hunting from the get-go, the one that gobbled first, he ended up onto a gas well road. So I actually just pulled out my phone and got on my Google Maps and used the intranet there a little bit to use a satellite mode and kind of
figure out
exactly where he was at on that road and closed a gap on him. And I knew between him and I, there was a creek. So I ended up getting down into the creek and walking down the creek probably about 150 yards, which brought me up in behind this gas well that he had previously been on. And I snuck up under that gas well and got onto the road, and he was doing the classic where he would go 75 yards down the road, gobble his head off, turn around, come right back up. And he would stop on the highest point of that road every time. So I waited for him to go down the road and gobble down into the hollow and just keep closing the gap on him. And I got as close as I could to that point, and I called to him, and he just came running right back up to that top.
Yeah.
And
still henless.
Yeah, he lost. They were all behind me. They never came to him, so he was pretty mad.
Yeah.
So you were lucky.
Yeah.
Not lucky, but, I mean, there's a lot of skill that goes into that. But, I mean, if he's with hens, you're not playing that game.
It's tough. I mean, right. Anytime one set of turkey eyes is hard enough,
yeah.
and you get more of them in there.
That's right.
And I mean, that goes back to one of the mistakes guys make all the time, especially with fields. They see you well before you even spot them.
Yeah.
And we spooked one yesterday, mm-hmm. doing the exact same thing. We were walking down a road. Same thing. I always tell myself, anytime I make a turn on a road, I want to look up that road first and
stay tight on the inside.
Boom, there he was.
Just
and as soon as I spotted him, he was gone.
Yep.
But the back to the one I shot, I just hunkered down onto the road, and he came back up and boom.
Did he come blown up?
Oh, he strutted. He was strutting the whole time.
That's cool.
Yep.
Yeah, that's fun.
Key to that is to keep quiet and get inside that little comfort zone. When you get inside that, and you make any noise, they come running.
Yeah. And in the call, I mean, I putted to him a couple times and just purred to him. Just
to let him know you're there.
Yeah.
And that's it, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, if you do anything else, he's just going to hang up and wait on you.
Yeah, that's a hard lesson to learn, too.
Yep.
It's hard not...
It's fun to call.
As impatient as I am,
it's
hard for me not to call. But I'm learning. I mean, I'm gonna I'm going to do better. I know that the less you call, the better off you are. All you got to do is let them know you're there. And now I've had birds come up on me when I called and didn't hear them. I heard them gobble, and then they come up on me, and they never gobbled the rest of the way. They just came up on me the whole way until they were right there. And then, you know, if I'd wait, I didn't wait long enough, I'd call again, right? Then they know exactly where I'm at. Whenever they're, he was down over the hill. He was coming up the hill to me. When he came up the hill, he knew exactly where I was supposed to be.
A silent stalker.
Yeah.
Turkeys and deer hunting, though. So deer will come down a deer path and go by you, and they'll just keep walking for the next hour or whatever.
Right.
A turkey could possibly stay in the same spot all day long within, you know, a couple hundred yards.
Yeah, if that.
Just because they're not making any noise, they didn't go anywhere. They're still there somewhere.
That's why you
somewhere.
Always have to be ready to shoot, too, right? Yep. You can't relax on it, because that's when they show up, when you're not ready, usually.
Usually.
So, Tom, you do some preseason scouting, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you like to get out and find out where the birds are doing, where they're at, and what they're
doing. Just depends on your work schedule and what you got going on. Most of the time, the last couple of years, I used to go out every day, every time I got, you know, and I was fortunate. I had a good work schedule, and I could do that. Just deprive yourself of sleep.
When you do that, do you ever touch the calls, or is it just to listen?
Nope. I do like Andy. I mean, I've hunted the same areas, and I hunt the same areas year after year, so I know the lay of the land. I like to go and pick myself a high point and wait for it to get daylight and just listen. Just make a mental note of where everything is, and
that's a big topic now, too, is the preseason calling, right? I mean, guys
have always done that.
They're actually talking about changing the law on that now.
Well, I think if you're preseason calling, that's just dumb.
I didn't even know there was a law.
Well, there's not yet, but I believe they're trying to pass a law that says you're not allowed to preseason call anymore. What a lot of guys are doing, I guess, is they're videotaping.
That happens. I still do hunt with a buddy of mine, take his daughters out over in a youth hunt over around Luthersburg, and there's a crew of guys over there that he said they start in March and start driving around with cameras and calling and getting out and calling birds in for footage.
They get a lot of show footage. That's what a lot of those guys do.
Yeah. On land that they're not going to hunt with. So.
Right, but they're ruining
so they
the
don't
next
care.
Guys.
Yeah, they're not going to screw up with their birds.
I can see that being a big problem, because
I think that's what they're trying to stop.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree with that 100%. I mean, they
Yeah, if they want the footage, they can do it with everybody else.
They can go on their own posted ground. They can find places to do that where people will let them do it.
Well, you're not going to mess your own turkey up, though. They're going to hunt those ones. They're going to mess yours up, because that's what's not right about it.
Well, that just comes down to hunting ethics. And
yeah, which a lot of people are losing that anymore.
We had one yesterday. We actually went to a game lands, and we were walking across the road to go down into this game lands, and a truck pulled up into the parking area and saw both of us walking down in there, and he turned his truck around and left.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Which I thought was pretty cool.
That is cool.
Same with those guys on Saturday.
They turned around
and walked away. As far as I know, you know, they probably went home.
Right.
And I'd do the same thing.
Just to get back to that, do you guys carry orange with you?
No.
Not in spring.
You don't carry like an orange baseball cap or
orange
something?
Orange hat
or
right in my vest.
Just
I
for
have
that
it,
reason.
I have it right tucked in right in my corner where if I see something,
you throw it up in the air.
I get it out.
That's a good idea.
Because that's a big safety factor that takes
there
2 seconds to put
it
in
there. There
was
orange on those bowstrings on that crossbow. That's why I turned it around, hoping maybe they would
see that. Well, you know, we, us three, Tom, Andy, and I, we have a friend that got shot while turkey hunting. Now, that was a little bit different situation, but, you know, it happens.
It happens.
It happens quite a bit. It happens more
than
I think.
It happens more often than is reported, for sure.
Yeah, and I think that BB went into his head.
Yeah, he's still carrying it.
Yeah.
There's no reason for that. I mean,
no.
That's a great idea. You have a really good idea. I mean, I used to, well, the laws have changed back and forth. There was a time where they made you wear that orange while you were walking.
Right, while you were moving.
Now they don't.
So you said, Andy, that those guys are hunting, or they're doing that in March. Do you think that our turkey season is too late?
I'm not the scientist. I mean, they know the research with the with the hens and when they're going to nest and the success rates and the mortality rates of the eggs and all that. So I'm.
Do you think that's why they put the season where it is?
Oh yeah,
for survival.
Yeah, everything's research based.
Sure.
Now these last couple really wet springs are making it tough for the birds and for the hunters.
Yeah. Well, we had a really early warm up this year too.
Right, got everything green. So I mean, next week's it's going to be getting pretty green around here.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, the sun comes out and warms up. It's gonna look like the third and fourth week. We're only in the second.
But I do see. I predict though the turkey's gobbling rate and hunting's going to probably improve here in the next week or so, because we really have not had any nice weather.
No, we had nicer weather in February.
I'm actually planning on taking some time off this week in the mornings to hunt, because I know last week it rained all week. It's been raining for, what, a week and a half straight?
Oh, yeah, let's put some water in the ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we needed it, but it's, yeah. So do you guys do any kind of scouting during the season? Or is it just like, I'm going to hunt?
Always scouting.
Yeah. Both turkeys that I shot last year, I went out the night before and loaded my kids up in the truck to say, let's go find a turkey for the excuse to go scouting.
And that's fun.
And ended up shooting both of the turkeys that we saw that night. I went in the next morning and killed them.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
and
fun.
And then they get really excited when they realize that the turkey that we saw last night
is laying in the driveway
the next morning in their pajamas.
Is that part of your normal routine, though? Will you typically try to bed that bird the night before, or not always?
No, I mean, if I see one in a field, like...
Yeah, at the end of the night.
Something like that. Yeah. But I mean, like the ones you're talking, that people were seeing around town, I probably would never...
No,
hunt those ones.
I wouldn't.
But unless
either.
I had a scenario like you,
yeah, that was the only reason.
Yeah,
I was,
you don't
was
have like, to drive in there. You can just sneak in there on foot.
Well, my whole thought process over that was, I didn't figure those birds to be. I figured a few of them probably to be dead during the youth hunt, mm-hmm. and I figured the rest of them probably not to be even talking anymore. When he's gobbling on the roost there, I thought,
that's a gift.
I can't not try that.
Yeah, that's right.
How can you not get a big grin on your face and go to bed and wake up and go there?
But there's all these different scenarios. Like we were talking last Friday night at camp before the first day.
Kennedy Camp, boys.
I'm thinking, where am I going to go tomorrow? And I said to Tom about, you know, those darn game lands. It's one of those things where you could drive over there and there'd be nobody.
Yep.
Or you could drive over there and there were 8 trucks.
Yep.
I drove over there last Saturday morning. I was the first one there, and there were 3 guys there by the time I left, myself and 2 others.
Which is pretty good.
I don't know how many 1,000 acres.
It's 15,000 acres.
And where I was at was probably a third of that.
Yeah.
That game lands. But
well,
that's what Center County has to offer. I mean, there's a lot of game lands over there. Yeah. So.
There's a lot of game lands around us. We talked about that last week.
Well, you could go. All you have to do is really go north into like Quihana.
Yeah.
Areas like that. You could hunt forever up there and really never see anybody.
Oh, yeah.
There's so much ground around us. We're so blessed in that area.
We were out Saturday where that guy pulled in, took, left.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no one. Yeah, basically the second Saturday, and we had the whole place to ourselves for hours.
That's a good feeling, too.
That's nice.
Yeah.
You know, we thought we did. And then we come out, there was another guy's track on the road, but we never saw him.
Right.
He obviously didn't go very far. We bumped that one on the road coming out.
I hunted, where I hunted at on Saturday, I didn't have anybody around me. But then I ended up moving, and it was pouring. It rained all day where I was at, and guys were going down the road in their trucks. They'd stop, call out the window, and then keep going.
That's pretty typical. That's how my old man taught me how to scout birds.
We had that the whole first week at camp like that.
He'd pick 6 or 7 out, and hopefully we'd go there and, Nobody'd be at the one, maybe.
Been there, done that.
Yeah, it's frustrating.
But what, and it goes back to the when I said about sitting up against a tree.
Yeah.
If I'm going to stop somewhere and call to a bird, I'm going to make sure that my gun is out of the truck and my vest is on and everything is ready to go, because I don't know how many times I've called out and they're right there.
Yep, and then they're running at you, right?
Possibly. Yeah. I mean, I've heard birds less than 100 yards off the road, and you're standing there looking at you and your buddy, and you're like, what the heck are we going to do?
Mm-hmm. Well,
and you get back in the truck and drive down the road because they're standing right there on top of you. Yeah.
You always make sure you get next to a big enough tree, or all you have to do is slide down and sit down.
Yep.
Because if you don't, you're going to get caught.
That brings up Tom took me hunting whenever I was younger a couple times. Well, a lot. But turkey hunting.
I know what time you're talking about.
Well, there's a couple times. But this time, for sure, we sat down. We had birds, gobbling, and they're coming at us. And
woo-hoo!
and they come, and they're coming in, like, you know, and I'm excited. You know, I'm young, excited, really excited, because, you know, there's these big gobblers coming in. Here they come. They come to a certain point, and bang, they stop, turn around, and go the other way. And I know I didn't move. Tom says, I didn't move. And he looks over at me, and he's like, what are you doing? I said, what do you mean, what am I doing? He looks over at me, and my pant legs are up, and I got white socks on.
He sat down, his pant legs went up, and he had the old knee-high whiteys on, you know?
Yeah.
He had about 8 or 9 inches of white hanging out there, and both they were coming right at us. They stopped on a dime, turned around, took off.
And I couldn't figure out why.
And he says, what happened? I said, I don't know. I got up and walked out, turned around, looked at him. He just had these two great big white things sitting there looking at him. Like, wow. It's fun. You learn.
I can't tell you how many times I fell asleep. Tom would take me out in the morning. I'd fall asleep. He'd wake me up. He said, did you hear that? I'm like, what? I didn't hear it. I was sleeping.
That's how you learn.
You learn something every time you go out.
That's right.
I mean, if you're that passionate about it, you can't know everything.
Nope. That's right.
And you make mistakes every time, and you're thinking the whole time, and it's fun.
It is fun. I agree. What kind of call do you use, Andy? Mouth call all the time?
A little bit of both. A little bit of everything.
Yeah?
Yep, some slate calls and mouth calls.
If you were to choose just one call, what would it be?
Oh, that's a tough situation. If I didn't have to hold a gun in my hands, it'd be a slate call.
Yeah, me too.
Because
you can do anything with it, and it sounds really good.
Yeah, certain ones. But, right. I mean, probably a mouth call.
Yeah. Tom?
Probably the same, but, I mean, it... Like Andy said, if you have to have a gun in your hand... And you're the one going to pull the pin, then you're going to use mouth call.
Yeah.
Because it eliminates your movement.
Yeah. If you're calling for, say, him and you're on a setup.
Then I'm using everything I got.
Strictly. Or, you're going to use it all?
Pretty much, yeah.
You're not going to strictly stick to, like, the slate. You'll use the mouth
call. You do that sound like a bunch of different hens.
I'll sound like a couple. Yeah. And then I'll even, I love to rake the leaves.
Yep.
I love to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, and there's nothing better than one gobbling, and that's all you're doing. Because you know he's coming.
Yeah.
You know.
Or in the morning with a wing or something, just scraping it on the side of the trees or something. They're like a hen up in a tree, flapping her wings, and it's scraping against a bark. And if they gobble to something like that, it's
over.
It's not over.
It's
a good feeling that you know that he's got some interest in it.
It's a great way to read a bird. A lot of people don't read what they're dealing with, and if you're a hunter. You want to know what to expect out of what you're going to try to shoot. Makes it a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you can read his excitement level just by doing something that simple, it really, really heightens the thrill of the whole thing, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. That's something I probably never really thought about.
What's that?
Reading a bird like that.
Oh, yeah, take his temperature. I remember hearing that a long time ago by the old Wilbur. Primo's boy.
What do you use, Steve? Do you mix it up? You're pretty much a mouth call.
Typically, yeah. I don't get too far away from the mouth call, but that's just a lot of... Most of the turkey hunting I do, I'm by myself. Or I'll call birds from my nephew or my cousin. You know, they're not real big turkey hunters, but they like to do it, you know. Mm-hmm. And I don't mind doing that. That, to me, I have just as much satisfaction bringing one in for maybe somebody else to shoot as sure. I do pulling the trigger myself.
I get more excited, I think, most of the time.
But even in that scenario, I'll usually stick with that mouth call. I mean, I do have a slate that I'll use every once in a while, and I've tried those push button things, and I'm not a big fan of those.
Well, box call in the late season.
Box calls, they do have
green
ones,
up.
And, yeah, because it's blocking the sound.
If it's windy, rain or wind.
If it's real noisy and windy, you can really use a box call.
I made a box call out of hard maple, cedar sides, and cherry. I had cherry in there too.
Always got to have a cherry on top.
Yep. And man, is that sucker loud.
You're having too much fun.
It sounds good though. It really does. But it's really, really loud. So when I bust that out, it's on a windy day or, you like you said, later in the season when everything's greened up. Because it's hard to hear. I mean, once those leaves come up, it's
yeah,
tough to hear.
It's really hard to judge how far away everything is when the leaves come up.
Mm-hmm.
And turkeys never gobble right where you're looking. That's the other thing. Sometimes you hear a bird,
yep,
and then you don't hear him, but then you hear him again, and you're like, well, where the heck did he go? Well, he's still in the same spot. He's just gobbling the complete other direction.
Facing
you know what I mean? That's hard for, I mean, some guys, when judging them,
yeah,
you know, a lot of times they get bumped or something like that. You think he's a lot closer, but no, he's actually gobbling away from you.
And Cody automatically assumes that he's running away from him. He's right. Like, I'm out of here. I can't sit here anymore.
Right.
Well, I can tell you that when
I'm moving somewhere else.
Tom has taken me hunting before where he'd be like, did you hear that? No. Or there are times I'd be like, yeah, I heard that. I didn't hear it.
You hear a lot of gobblers in the woods that aren't gobblers during turkey.
Oh, yeah. Woodpeckers sound
oh, yeah.
like them.
Especially when you haven't heard one for the last
oh,
3 hours.
Oh, yeah, you start thinking about it.
Well, there's days where you won't hear one the whole entire day. That's what's really hard.
I had that Saturday. I never heard a bird.
And that's when you have fun, because then I'll ask Tom if he heard it, and he'll go, no, neither did I.
So something else that our state's done recently is opened up afternoon hunting. Have you guys had any success with that?
I went one time. And actually set up on an area where I knew the birds were roosting that night. And I got in there, I don't know, maybe 5 o'clock or so, and sat for about an hour. And then I called, and within 10 minutes, the bird was standing right in front of me, and my gun was on my lap. And it never made a sound.
No kidding.
It was tough.
Yeah.
Being in the woods. I know a lot of guys that are killing them in the evening or seeing them in a field.
And
they know where they're roosting. And
get in between.
They're getting out in front of them along that field edge where they know that bird's going, and they're getting successful that way, which works.
Yeah. Tom, you have you had any success in the afternoon?
Not a fan.
No?
Not a fan at all.
It's not the same, I know that.
No.
I mean, I know why they're doing it, because a lot of people, they want more people to hunt.
Yeah.
But it just frees guys up to ride around and
bump
birds.
Yeah.
That's what my experience is. I mean, if you're going to do it right, you're not going to hunt at 2 or 3. You're going to try to kill that bird when he comes to roost.
Well, if you...
And I think that's great.
Oh, yeah.
But ride around, you know...
Do you think a lot of guys are killing birds out of the tree that way, though?
I think there's guys killing birds out of the trees all the time.
Well, either way it happens. But you think it typically
happens
more at
night? You think a lot of guys
are
doing that? I've never even thought, I know it's against the law, but it's never even crossed my mind. What's the challenge in that, right?
Well, there is. It's the same challenge as spotlighting a deer.
Most guys, it's not about that. It's about grabbing a hold of it and telling your story and making
up whatever
you want. Mm. So you can tell people whatever you want when you got it hanging on to it.
Yeah, I've got no...
I got no desire to
do
that. So it just, to me, it just ruins morning hunting by letting people do that.
When you guys know you've bumped a bird, how long do you let that area sit before you go back in there? And what do you see when you go back in? Do you see them coming? Do you see them a little shy? Or are they just... I mean, they see people in the woods, right? it's not like it's the only time they ever see people in the woods.
Birds get bumped every day.
Right. So do
most of the time they don't even know what the heck it was that bumped them.
Yeah.
So it just depends on if you're fortunate enough to see how he responds to you bumping him, mm-hmm. supposedly. You know, if he puts up a storm and takes off the ground right away and doesn't run at all,
mm-hmm.
then you might as well just back out and leave him alone for a while.
How long is a while? What do you think? Like 3 days, 4 days, a week?
I might go back in there the next morning.
Oh, really?
He might gobble his head off the next morning. You never know.
What about missing one? One that's been shot at?
That one I missed, I had no idea what the heck happened to him.
Same thing then. You just don't know.
He took about 6 quick steps and walked away, and I sat there thinking, what the heck did I do that for?
Yeah.
You know, I fully expect him to do the same thing tomorrow.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
So will you hunt him tomorrow?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
See, I typically
I'll be within earshot of him.
Yeah, just to make sure.
I mean, you know, I'm not going to put all my cards on, go in there and sit down. But
you think he'll act exactly the same as far as the gobbling and everything? Or do you think he'll maybe be a little bit more, you know, quiet or...
I don't know. You know.
That's called turkey hunting.
Yeah. I mean, if it,
that's
you know,
true.
There's no set thing.
Well, I mean, typically from your experience that you've seen, if a bird's been shot at and missed.
My experience over the years, if he's been shot at, you'll be lucky to get another crack at him within a week and a half to 2 weeks.
If he knows you were there.
If he knows that's what happened. But his brain's only that big.
Right.
You know, and he's all horned up. Right. You know, he's going to forget about it.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of, but if you keep putting pressure on, then hell yeah, you'll shut him right up. And I've had birds that I've missed the first week and never heard them again. And know for a fact that they weren't dead.
No kidding.
You know, because I was in there every day, but they just never gobbled again.
Right. They learned a lesson.
They learned a lesson. Yeah. Pitched down. They still got girls with them.
Yep.
You know.
It changes every week. It changes.
Yeah.
Whether like, hunting some of these big fields with gas wells and stuff, or just big fields anywhere that are filled with bugs.
Yep.
I mean.
Oh yeah. Once that
grasshoppers come on.
Grasshoppers. We saw some grasshoppers.
Them girls are coming to that, and they're all over that.
I couldn't believe how early the grasshoppers were this year. I saw full size grasshoppers 2 weeks ago. Was that 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago?
Well, it was just two weeks ago today, I think.
Yeah, that real warm stretch.
Yeah.
You hit certain field points that get a lot of sun, you start walking, they're popping all over the place.
I couldn't believe that.
They love them things.
Oh, yeah.
But hey, I shot a coyote.
I heard.
I did.
And I saw the picture. Yeah. I didn't.
That was fun.
My Facebook situation is just coming back together, you know. Like, the Open Air Project's going to have its own Facebook page.
Cool.
So Becky showed me the picture of it strung out next to you. That's a big dog.
It was a big dog, yeah. I was happy it was a female.
Is that what it was? It was a female.
Yeah.
You put the pictures out there on the internet?
On the internet, yes, I did.
Yep.
Do you think it was pregnant?
No, she'd already had, they already have their pups.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I skin her, and I think she was done, they were done eating off of her.
Did you eat her?
Did I eat her?
Yeah.
No, I ain't eating no dog.
Well, you should have. I'd have ate some of that. We should have tried it.
I know where it is.
I know it's a little late now.
It's probably already getting eaten.
Yeah, it's already getting eaten. I get some candy.
I know it's
maybe
not
I'll
going to
waste.
But I'm just saying, I would like to try it, just to try it. Like, see what it tastes like.
Chicken.
Yeah. Tastes like chicken.
Yeah, if it tastes like chicken, why not eat it?
Yeah. Oh,
right?
Yeah. Hey, I never really. Yeah, I mean, it's a nice sized dog.
Yeah.
How do you guys, when you go out together, you hunt a lot together, right, the two of you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you decide who's going to pull the trigger and who's going to do the calling?
Usually let it dictate.
Yeah.
He usually shoots one right away, so then I get
So then
the,
you get the
I just
point.
Get
I had my gun with me on Saturday, but I had no intentions of shooting, unless we ended up side
with
by
the double or something
side
like that.
Yeah. Or
and it could have been that day.
Shoot one off the bat and then stay in wherever you're at and wait to see if you can shoot another one. Or
when we were sneaking out on that point and that thing gobbled right down off the hump, I went straight forward and he went right backwards and we just sat down.
Have you guys ever pulled a double?
No.
No?
No.
That'd be cool though.
That would be fun to do.
Hunting with a buddy's a hell of a lot of fun though when you're doing that.
Oh yeah.
You guys do much filming? I know you showed us some.
I've I've done some. Never like alone by myself with the camera.
That's tough.
Yeah. We've had a buddy that has done that. But I mean, I got some video, a lot of youth hunts. Mm-hmm. Some girls from over in Dubois have been shooting turkeys for a couple of years, and I go out with them and their dad, and we get some video on youth hunts. But I'd like to do it some more.
You got some early footage of Alex shooting.
Yeah, we got some, yep. Had some good footage years ago. Mistake footage.
Yeah, like, that was always fun.
Yep. Alex bringing his gun through the kill zone and smacking a tree right in front of him because when he sat down, he didn't realize that there was a tree 3 feet in front of him.
Yeah, we couldn't
And when
figure
he,
out
when he brought
happened.
His gun through it and smacked it to the it sapling went, that started went, shaking yeah. back and forth, and the turkeys went running.
Dad had to pull a pin and drop one of them. Is yeah. that right?
Yeah. Did you?
Yeah, I shot one. Then I leaned, you can hear it on the video, I leaned over and said, sorry, buddy. I don't know what happened. We weren't sure what happened. Right. I mean, they were coming on a rope, yeah. a big line of them.
Yeah,
they got out there where we could shoot them, and they just turned around and took off. We were like, we weren't sure till we watched the video. Then you mm-hmm. could see the tree move. You know,
that's the video you pull though when you go back to watching, probably, right? I mean,
yeah, I don't even know whatever I can. I know I still have it, but it's been a long time since I've watched it.
Do you think that call shy birds is a myth? Do you think that's a myth, or do you think there's some reality behind it?
That's definitely true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see birds shutting up.
Old birds.
Yeah.
You're not going to do that with a 2-year-old that's running around just gobbling.
Right.
Those are the ones we all want.
Right.
We all want them to hit the ground and start, you know, gobbling in the dark.
Running right at you.
Nothing better than one gobbling and as soon as you get out of the truck.
Yeah.
You know, get in close and sit down and shut up and wait for him to fly down, hit the ground and call to him. He comes running. Yeah, that's fun. But that's, I like it whenever they, like later on, whenever they hit the ground and they take off.
Yeah.
I like hearing those ones. I like hearing the ones that are looking for girls.
Yeah.
And they have to run out of them.
That well, means they're not bedded by them, right? So they have to go find them.
Well, they've been there, they've been there, they've yeah. been there, then all of a sudden, they're not coming to him. So then he has to take off.
So yeah. here's...
That go, brings up, go invade all of his buddies' place to right. see if there's any left.
So that brings up another tactic, like a late season tactic that I've heard of guys doing, which... You guys let me know what you think. Have you ever went out? Well, we know the answer because you don't do a lot of pre-night scouting, but guys will roost birds. This is typically done a lot in the fall too, but I've heard it being done in the spring. But they'll let those birds roost, then they'll blow them right back out of the trees. So the next morning, as soon as everything comes out,
yeah.
you know, those gobblers are automatically looking for those hens that they were roosting
oh,
with.
Yeah.
So you shut that lead hen up. Now, all of a sudden, you know, the theory behind that is that gobbler comes to you then
right.
first, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever tried anything like
done
that?
Done it in the fall.
Yep, done
yeah,
it
the fall,
in the fall.
Pretty popular.
Oh, it's fun. It works. I mean,
you've
all,
never tried it in the spring?
Never done it in the spring.
Do you think it is a feasible tactic?
It's probably a tactic that's being used by what I'm not a big fan of.
Yeah.
Probably since you're allowed to hunt at nighttime now.
Well, even not so much, you wouldn't even have to necessarily be able to hunt. You could go out with and just, you know, go in under them and start yelling or doing whatever to get
oh,
them
yeah,
out.
But it's always a much better break and cleaner break when you're blowing shells.
Oh, for them. Sure, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
You know?
Yeah, that works really well yeah. in the fall.
Yeah.
And that's some fun hunting when you can get a flock busted like that before right before dark.
I think a lot of us are missing out on, you know, everybody complains about having too many hens in the spring, but nobody hunts them in the fall.
No,
I agree with you. You're absolutely
not like
right.
they used to.
Yeah,
people need to start shooting more of them in the fall. Make hunting in the spring. I mean, the number's going to balance out
eventually. Yeah,
but there is a lot of hens in the spring, and they don't get any pressure at all in the fall.
Bad part is you give most guys the option. Are you going to archery hunt
Definitely.
Or are you going to turkey hunt?
Definitely.
Well, I'm going to archery hunt.
Sure.
You know?
Well, I'll shoot turkeys if I see
yeah,
them.
Yeah, if they happen to come by the stand. Yeah, that's. Probably, unless you're just strictly a turkey hunter and you're not archery hunting, that's probably the...
Yeah, but I mean, there's it's...
I'd love to kill one with my bow out of... I'd kill one out of a tree. It
sure.
Doesn't matter to me.
You guys have ever set up to make an archery kill on a spring gobbler?
Nope.
Never?
Do you ever think about it?
Nope.
It's just as fun with the gun, huh?
I've tried it.
Have
I've
you?
Tried it early, but never had any success.
Well, you know, with a crossbow, it's I think it's a little bit easier.
I think it would be, yeah.
Yeah, with a crossbow, I mean, with a regular bow, I'd want to be sitting in a blind or
that's
something.
That's something I didn't realize.
And that's just another thing to carry out there.
Yeah,
and
it'd be tough.
That's something I didn't bring up, and I want to real quick. I know we got to get this cut off here fairly soon, but do you guys hunt out of blinds very often?
I purchased one last year to hunt rifle season out of. I mean, in a few years taking...
You mean deer. But I'm talking
deer,
turkey.
But in a few years taking kids out, I think it would be fine. But it's just one more thing that I have to carry out there.
Yep.
And set up.
You're a minimalist?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Try to be.
Yeah. It's hard, though.
I mean, you got to have... It's just one more thing.
Right.
Setting it up and tearing it down. And, I mean, if you could leave it up there for a while, that would be one thing. But you got to carry a chair with you. And
I put a few out this year just for the simple fact that my dad was going to want to get out.
Yeah.
And plus, I knew it was going to rain a lot.
Right.
So I'll put them in like a heavy, like if I spot a field.
Traffic area.
And I see them out there strutting somewhere and I know I can sneak in there and put one up and leave it for a few days. Or if I can bump one in close on some property and set it up somewhere where he can get into in the dark and it's going to rain. That way, you know.
There's a lot of advantages to having a blind, but there are disadvantages too. Like Andy said, you got to, if you're not putting it out there and leaving it out there, which...
Oh yeah,
that brings on along its own problems because you could be losing $150 or $100,
especially on public ground.
I would probably never tote one with me and throw it up in the morning, get in it, take it down, and go back the next day.
No,
because most of the time, if you're gonna kill a bird, you're probably gonna have to move on them at least a couple times in the process. You're not gonna sit down your first time, call him up, and he's gonna come right to you and shoot him. You're probably gonna have to move.
I find that in this area, people are less likely to take a ground blind than they are to take a trail camera. Unbelievably.
Well, that trail camera is a quick heist. I mean, you're not going to, you know, throw that blind in your back pocket and run out of the woods with it.
Yeah, in the same respect, too, though. I mean, if you see a big blind set up in the corner, what's the first thing you're looking for? I'm looking at that blind and I'm looking around to see if there's a camera looking at me.
Oh, yeah, there probably is.
You know, which most of the
time... That just goes back to hunting ethics again. That's just ridiculous to take somebody's...
I typically go the other way whenever I see a hunting blind.
Yeah.
That's what I do. Because, one, I don't want to get shot, you know, because you never know, right?
Right.
I carry decoys with me. I carry a Jake decoy and I carry a hen decoy. And... You know,
that's something else I wanted to ask you guys. Do you typically use
these guys? That's all right. I just don't. I don't think these guys. You guys don't use decoys.
I have some decoys.
Oh yeah, Andy uses decoys.
Hen decoy and Jake decoy. And I got a Primo's full strutting decoy that I've used it. I've seen great success with it. But you put a full strutting gobbler decoy out, and you're hunting 2-year-old birds.
You're gonna scare them off.
A lot of times, it's
going to
spook them.
Yeah.
Where they're just not really going to commit to it. But if you're hunting a big bird, and I've seen those, you know, just like on TV, where they come a running.
Yeah.
But a Jake decoy, I think, is pretty effective.
I carry a Jake and a hen. Do you guys use a fan ever?
No. And I think that goes back to the stalking rule in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, you're not allowed to do that.
I do not believe that you can crawl out into a field with a fan that you're waving around that you're hiding behind.
Right.
You said. Oh yeah.
I mean, that's what you watch the hunting channel
hilarious.
Right now. I mean, that's
scary.
What they're doing
I know, but I mean, I see that stuff on TV, and I've been.
Well, that's okay if you're inside a fence or something, right? But you're not going to do that in our public woods. You'd be an idiot.
I would not do that.
No, exactly.
You'd get shot.
You would get. You're just asking to get shot.
Yeah, that's why you don't use a gobble call, too, right? I mean, like you're never.
Some guys swear by a gobble call, but I mean, everything works at the right time.
Yeah,
it just depends on. You know, what you wanted, how you want to go about things.
Yep.
You know.
But you don't typically set the decoys for every hunt.
No.
You just you get a feel for it, or if something hangs up.
If you feel like it's coming.
I've killed a couple birds with decoys, and to be honest with you, I used them when I knew a bird was roosted. I got in there in the dark, within under 100 yards from him, and I set that decoy up so he could see it.
That's exactly how I did it.
And that's what I do. Yep. And I mean, I haven't done that for a long time just because I don't trust people.
I know. It's
and
your,
yeah, I just, you know, it's to me, it's just not worth it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And,
but it is really neat to sit down on a set and look out and see that and have one come in and do his thing all around. It is awesome.
Yeah.
But it's scary the whole time.
Yeah. It would be.
You know.
I'd love to keep this going, but I know Andy's got to go get his kids.
Yep.
So, concluding thoughts, Andy?
Nothing.
Nothing? Just, you don't have any
can't believe that.
Advice for the...
Come on.
Just for gonna, the going to check the weather tonight and see what the morning brings and try to just keep hunting.
Cold tomorrow.
Yep, got Saturday to hunt again.
So what do? You hunt an hour before work or what?
It all depends. I don't know. Yeah. Some days if I go out and the gun will never leave the truck. Or
yep.
Some days and then hurry back home to get clothes changed and that kind of stuff and hit the road. But least I just like being out there and listening in the morning open up and see what it brings.
It is awesome, man. It's an awesome time of the year to be in the woods.
I mean, I've went out on like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday in the mornings and watched turkeys, but never hunted them till Saturday just to make sure that they're still there, that type of thing.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you guys have a certain amount of patience that I don't have. I'm working on it, and I'm going to...
It's all your character, man. Have fun.
I have a hard time with patience. I do. Like, but it depends, I guess. If I'm seeing action, I can be patient.
Or he's catching fish.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
It takes a lot of patience.
Yeah.
I mean, it's certain things he has it, man.
Yeah. Fishing does take patience, but you know, there's certain things I know about fishing that I don't know about turkey hunting. Like, you guys...
That's why we had these guys.
That's right. That's why you're here. Like, if you want to talk fly fishing, I can tell you exactly... I don't know everything, but I know what to do to catch fish, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Tom, do you have any final thoughts?
Oh, ready to shoot something.
Yeah?
What the heck?
You going to hunt tomorrow?
Yeah, and then back to work Tuesday. Hunt Saturday and next Monday.
I'm thinking either taking... Either tomorrow and Tuesday off, or Tuesday and Wednesday off. I'm not sure yet.
Is that trip we going to next Monday?
Yep. Wednesday looks nice.
Wednesday looks beautiful.
So you think Tuesday and Wednesday is the deal?
Mm-hmm. Every day.
Every day, man.
Whatever you can do. 32, 33 on wake up tomorrow or something.
It's perfect.
Calling for a frost tonight.
That's perfect.
That'll be great.
Hens will hit the ground, set on them babies, and guys will be
We haven't had a cold morning like that yet.
I look forward to them kind of days.
Steve, final thoughts?
Nah, I'm glad these guys were here.
Yeah, me too. I mean, these guys know.
I definitely learned something tonight.
Oh, I learned it.
And I'm going to go out tomorrow morning also. I have one more day before I have to go back to work too, and then I'm looking forward to the morning.
I just want to say thanks for coming in.
Well, thanks for bringing us on. I truly appreciate it.
It's been fun, and we'll do it again. It might be...
We'll have to do a season wrap up.
Yeah. I think that'd be good. That'd be good.
Yeah.
Depends on whether I shoot anything or
not. Or miss again.
No, I'll come back.
Those are good stories too.
They are good stories. Yeah. I'm not going to tell mine because there's a reason behind that. But I'm not going to tell mine.
We'll get it out of them.
Next time.
Next time.
So before we go, Steve, what's your beer of the week?
We're doing this beer thing again.
Yeah.
Tom, what are you drinking?
Water.
Okay. It's not water. But we're drinking. I had a Creaker. Ithaca's double IPA. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Their flower power is really good too.
I think this is right in line with that. Just, you know how most beer companies are. They've got an IPA, a double IPA, a pale ale.
Yeah.
And most of their beers taste similar, right? So you're going to get, it's just a little bit stronger, that's all.
That's a good one. Ithaca makes some good beer.
Ithaca does make good beer.
Geeker, huh?
Yeah.
Creeker.
Beautiful Creeker. City. Beautiful city.
You want to try one?
Ithaca
one
is a really, really cool place. Yeah. We went to Ithaca with some friends, and we were up at Finger Lakes, and then we decided, hey, we're going to go up and stop at the brewery. We get to the brewery. There's like 30 people inside. They're not letting us in because they got a plumbing problem. Oh. Oh, I was so frustrated. But
it's like turkey hunting.
Yeah, that's right.
Frustrating and fun all at the same time.
Teach you some patience.
I struggle. My beer of the week is Ruination, Stone Ruination. If you're gonna drink a double IPA that is in a good price range where it's not too expensive, and
that's probably one of the best ones.
And it has great flavor for an IPA guy, right? Then that's the one I'm gonna say. And I would drink. I'm to the point where if I see something new and then I see that, a lot of the times I'll still choose the Ruination.
You guys do the craft beer at all?
Some of it.
Yeah. Give us one, Andy.
I hit the Doc G's and Dubois yesterday.
Yeah,
last
night.
I had the original Dubois Budweiser.
Yeah, I had that.
The G-Wiser.
G-Wiser.
That's what it's
called. G-Unit. Yep. Had the G-Wiser. It was pretty good.
Yeah.
It was tasty.
Doc G's, and they make some good food. I like them.
My wife had the orange. Orange Passion, I think it was. It was tasty.
Yeah,
food was good. Yeah, it was a nice place.
Yeah, were there many people in there?
It was a good crowd.
Was it? Good.
Didn't have time to wait for a seat or anything, but it was good.
Tom, do you have a beer you want to throw out there? It can be whatever you want to throw out there. Yingling.
Genesee.
Whatever.
Cream
Nobody's
ale.
Thrown out Genesee Cream Ale.
I'm not going back that far, man.
They have cases of it stacked up like that high.
I've always been
downtown.
A Stroh's man.
Dusty.
I'll take Stroh's anytime.
Stroh's. So there's one. Stroh's. Nobody's
not everybody will know about that.
Right. So Stroh's is a local beer, right?
That's a fire brewed beer.
Fire brewed.
Yeah.
Yep. Don't even know if they're... I think someone told me that someone bought them out.
Oh, really?
But you can still buy it.
I think Stroh's is brewed in New York originally, I think.
Yeah. Stroh's is a fairly cheap beer, but it's got a good flavor, too.
Good flavor.
Unique. Yeah. Very unique.
Well, I want to say thanks for joining us, everybody. And you can... leave us reviews on iTunes and let us know how we're doing, good or bad. We don't care.
Yeah,
just tell
us. Hit
us
up on the book face and Chapsnat all over the internet.
That was fun.
You won't see me on there, but...
Yeah, it was good. And next week, we won't have an episode, I don't think. It's probably not going to happen next week. But the following week...
Mother's Day, right? Tell moms you love them.
Yeah.
Always.
Right.
Yeah.
Take them turkey hunting.
The following week, I'll be live in Center County fishing. We'll have a bunch of different guys there for that podcast.
Taking the show on the road, yes.
It'll be a fly fishing podcast, so if you're into fly fishing, tune in. If you're into just a good BS session, I'm sure that'll happen too. That one will probably end up being a little bit longer than an hour. So it might even, who knows how long that'll be. But thanks for joining us.
You bet.
And see you next podcast. Thanks.